This message is a presentation of Pinnacle Baptist Church and the preaching ministry of Pastor Ray McBerry. Other messages like this are available online at pinnaclebaptist.com. The church is located at 2517 High Falls Road in Griffin, Georgia. If you're in the area, we would love for you to visit us this Sunday. Now, here's today's message.
We've got some more folks that I think are going to be here in the next little bit too, so who knows what our Sunday school class attendance might be by the time we're finished. But I'm glad you're here this morning. Well, we are in the book of Judges. We just recently began our study in the book of Judges, so if you've not been here with us up to this point, you haven't missed a whole lot at this point, but we are, Lord willing, going to finish chapter 2 today in the book of Judges. Now, last week, we spent a good amount of time covering just 3 or 4 verses. Normally, we try to cover more than that when we're in Sunday school class, but we spent the entire week last week in the book of Judges talking about the false gods and goddesses that the people around Israel were worshiping there in the land. And if you were here last summer on Wednesday nights, we had a study on Mystery Babylon, and we talked about a lot of those ancient pagan religions, the mystery religions, and how they may have changed the names of the gods and goddesses from one culture to another. In reality, all of the ancient religions of the world were the same story, and they just simply changed the names of the gods and goddesses. But it all goes back to the religion that was started at the Tower of Babel. And so we looked at the names of some of those gods and goddesses that are worshipped by the Canaanites when the children of Israel arrive in the Promised Land. And in specific, we looked at the two that are mentioned in chapter 2, verse number 13. It said, "And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." And that's the sun god and the moon goddess. And we looked at how those different types of worship took place, who they represented in that religion that was started at the Tower of Babel. And here we have the children of Israel, God's chosen people, the ones that saw God part the waters of the Red Sea. Now their children and their children's children are the ones that have turned away from the true and living God, and now they're worshiping idols, false gods, gods that were no gods. And that's where we pick up today in Judges chapter number 2, verse number 16. Now, the book is entitled Judges, and so today we're going to find out why it's called the book of Judges and what happened. Chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the people, was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them, and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." Now, I want to stop right here at the end of verse 19, and several weeks ago, I drew on the whiteboard here a cycle. It's the cycle that we just heard explained in these verses that we just read. The children of Israel, when they first came into the land, they had the blessings of God. In fact, I'm going to change it from the word blessings. I'm going to put the word prosperity, because God gave them prosperity as they came into the land. And as we saw in the chapter and a half before this, as long as Joshua was alive, the children of Israel did what God told them to do. He helped them to drive the Canaanites out of the promised land. God had specifically told them to drive out the inhabitants of the land. If they wouldn't go, they were to be killed. Man, woman, and child. And you say, that's the God of the Bible, killing children? And yet we talked last week about why God gave that commandment. It was because of the wickedness and the idolatry that these people were steeped in. The children as well as the adults. And God knew that if these people were allowed to remain in the land while His people were in the land, it would corrupt His people. And so He told them to drive the inhabitants out of the land. Well, as long as Joshua was alive, they did what God said to do. And God blessed them because of it. Victory after victory came to the children of Israel. If you ever read the book of Joshua, that's what the book of Joshua is about, them driving the inhabitants out from one city after another. But when the death of Joshua came, there was no more Moses, there was no more Joshua, there was not a man, not an individual, not one person who was kind of the leader of Israel anymore. And they were supposed to turn to God for leadership, and all 12 of the tribes were supposed to continue the work of driving out the inhabitants of the land in their area that God had given to each of the 12 tribes. What we discovered, though, is that the first two tribes, Judah and Simeon, working together, they had mostly success in driving out the inhabitants of the land, but the rest of the tribes, not so much. Most of them got to the real hard parts, and they said, you know what? I think we'll just stop right here. And they allowed the inhabitants to remain in the land. Now, in most cases, the children of Israel put them under tribute, the Bible told us. That is, they taxed the Canaanites who stayed in the land. They said, we'll let you stay, but you have to pay tribute to us every year in the form of money. But that's not what God had told them to do. God had told them to drive out the inhabitants of the land. And as they allowed those people to stay there with their false gods and false goddesses, it was just a matter of time before the children of Israel fell away from worshiping the true and living God and picked right up with the bad habits of the people they had allowed to stay in the land. And so what we saw is they were prosperous, they had prosperity, but it eventually became indifference. And, of course, disobedience right along with that. They didn't do what God said to do. As a result, God had to judge them. And then, after the children of Israel were judged by God, that is when God allowed the different peoples around them to come in and take whatever the children of Israel had. After you go hungry for 2 or 3 years in a row with nothing to eat and nothing to feed your children, eventually they started crying out to God and saying, Lord, we know we messed up. Lord, we know we were wrong. Lord, come and help us. And they would repent. Well, then God, in the form of a judge, would send deliverance. As we read in the text that we just saw, those judges would be raised up by God, and God would use the judge to go out and literally lead a military campaign to drive their enemies back out of the land. These judges, we looked at what the role of a judge was in chapter 1 in the introduction when we were beginning our study in Judges. They weren't judges in the sense that we think of as judges. They were kind of the role of somewhat what a local magistrate would be today for us. But during times of war, they were the military leaders. And so God would raise up these judges and He would deliver the people. But just as we read, as soon as they were delivered and prosperity returned, then they promptly forgot God again. You know, as I was planning our Sunday school lesson for today, I was thinking about our country and the situation in which we find ourselves today, with all the race riots going on and all of the different things that are happening in the news around us. We hear Christians saying we need to pray. Pray for God's help. And by the way, we should do that. But you know, when you think of not our church and not those handful of true Bible-believing Christians that are trying to serve God and are praying for our country, when you think of America in general, there's a pattern a lot like this pattern. I think after 9/11 happened, almost 20 years ago now, there was this big cry, we've got to come back to God. America needs to come back to God. And the churches were full for several weeks after 9/11. You remember that? But then what happened? They started waning away. And 6 months after that, there were no more people in the churches than there were before it happened. How quickly we forget the blessings of God and the deliverance of God. Well, we see this vicious cycle playing out in the history of Israel for the entire book of Judges. So just get ready, because this is what we're going to see over and over again. The book of Judges is really the story of this cycle in the history of Israel for more than 300 years. What we're going to see are the different judges that God raises up to deliver Israel. Some of them you already are very familiar with: Samson, Gideon, and others. But we'll encounter more of the judges along the way that perhaps you're not quite as familiar with. Othniel, for example, is one of them. We'll see others as we go through too. Maybe you'll learn something new. But before we proceed along, I thought that, you know, really what we ought to think about, not just is this the same vicious cycle in which we see Israel, the same vicious cycle really that we see in America, at least in modern history. But before we're too prone to throw rocks at the Israelites of the Old Testament, we really ought to examine our own hearts and our own lives. Because in reality, this is the same cycle that we as Christians individually have a tendency to fall into. God blesses us, and all of us after we got saved were blessed by God in more ways than one. But as we experience the Christian life and we walk through this world enjoying God's blessings as a saved child of God, you know, it's possible that even we as Christians can begin to take God's blessings for granted. And as we begin to take God's blessings for granted, we become indifferent. In fact, you could say we become a little bit, hey brother, you could say we become a little bit lazy and lax in our Christianity, in our spiritual life, in our relationship with God. We stop reading our Bible every day. We stop praying as much as we used to. Oh, maybe we still pray every day, but it's probably more over the food than anything else. But there's not that same zeal for God, a passion to live for Him that we once had. And our hearts grow a little colder. And as a result, it isn't long before we fall into sin of one sort or another. We get farther away from God and closer to the world, and we begin to fall into sin. Well, God cannot allow us to continue as His children in sin, unpunished, undisciplined, any more than He allowed the children of Israel to do that in the Old Testament, any more than you would allow your own children or grandchildren to behave that way without being chastened. Why do you chasten your children and your grandchildren? Is it because you want to abuse them? You don't love them? You don't care about them? No, it's actually quite the opposite. It's because we love them that we discipline them. Otherwise, they would think that they could just live that way from now on. And we'd have a bunch of little hellions running around calling themselves Christians. God can't allow that any more than you would allow your child or your grandchild to live that way. So God chastens us. He chastens us, and, you know, as I've said before when I spoke to teenagers, I said, you know, God is, he's not like Zeus, the Greek god that was pictured by the Greeks as sitting up on top of Mount Olympus waiting for a chance to throw lightning bolts down at people. That's not the way God is. He's not waiting for you to mess up so he can throw a lightning bolt down. He doesn't want you to mess up. I told that story one time to a group of teenagers, and I said, you know, he's sitting up there just waiting to, talking about Zeus, he's an angry god waiting to throw, and one of the boys said, light bulbs. He meant lightning bolts, but he said light bulbs. Well, God is not up there on Mount Olympus like Zeus waiting to throw lightning bolts down and strike you. But what he is trying to do is when we get off the path we're supposed to be on, he'll do whatever it takes to get us back on the path. If we get off this way or off that way, he'll chasten us. He'll spank us spiritually. That spanking doesn't always come in the same form or fashion in the same person's life or from person to person. God has a way of knowing, though, what it takes to get your attention. Isn't that true in your life? God knows you personally, and he knows how to get your attention. Unfortunately, sometimes we're like the children of Israel, and we're hard-headed and hard-hearted, and it takes more for him to get our attention. So what he'll do is he'll start chastening us. He'll chasten us a little bit. And if that doesn't get our attention, he'll turn up the heat a little bit. And he'll keep turning up the heat until he does get our attention. He's not looking for an opportunity to abuse you or beat you or punish you as the pagan gods were thought to do, but rather he chastens. He's discipling us. Discipline comes from the same word as disciple. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get us back onto the right path, because it's only on this path that we're under the windows of heaven where he can pour out blessings upon us. If we're over there, he can't bless us. If we're over there, he can't bless us. So his whole purpose when he's chastening us is just to get us back here where he can do good things for us. Your kids, when you're in the grocery store, when they're little, they see the little dollar toys hanging on the rack there as you go by the checkout counter. Oh, mommy, I want one of these. Can I have one of those? Well, if they've been good while you've been shopping in the store, the stores know that you're very likely to say, okay, you've been good, you can pick one out. But if they've been pitching a fit all throughout the store, and you've seen children do that, thrashing about, screaming, and making all kinds of havoc in the grocery store, when you get up to the checkout line and they say, Mommy, I want one of those, are you likely to buy them one when they've been bad? Well, no, because you're rewarding their bad behavior. Well, just as you and I would not reward bad behavior for our children, God's the same way. He's not going to keep blessing us when we're in sin. And so as a result, he brings judgment. In the lives of Israel, he brought judgment in the form of some different group of people being allowed to come in, take whatever they had, and leave them with nothing. And in many cases, leaving them without anything to eat as well. In our spiritual lives, when God judges us, it could come in the form of any number of things in your life or mine, because God knows how to get our attention. And the longer it takes him to get our attention, the more chastening there is. There's a lesson for all of us, I think, to be learned. When God is trying to get our attention, we ought to stop and say, Lord, I was wrong. I realize you're trying to get me to do right. Lord, please forgive me. Help me to do right. So that His chastening in our lives won't have to be so long and so hard. Then, of course, comes deliverance. In the life of Israel, it came in the form of judges who were supernaturally, spiritually empowered by God to deliver them from their enemies. I know the one that always comes to mind is Samson. We've been watching the film on Wednesday nights the last few weeks about the life of Samson, the mighty man. God gave him supernatural strength, and he led the children of Israel and many of the other judges too in fighting the enemies of the people of God. One of the things that I think you'll find interesting as we go through the book of Judges, when we encounter each judge, you're going to see that it says of them, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. It was not these individuals in their own might, their own power, that they were able to overcome the enemies. It was because God was blessing them. God was using them. God was delivering His people through the judges. And it was His power that enabled Samson and Gideon and all the other judges to run the enemies back out of the land. So too in our own life, it's God that brings deliverance. Whatever the judgment is that has come into our lives because of our sin, it's God that can remove it in our lives as well. We were talking about the new girls that were going into the home down there where Christy is ministering. Those people have fallen into things, and God's the one that has the answer to deliver them. They're in the right place for the situation they're in. So too, though, are we spiritually in that same situation. We may not have the same judgments in our lives because of sin, but when sin arises in our lives, God is still the one that has the ability to remove the judgment, just like the children of Israel of old. And then once He restores the people of Israel, they again experience prosperity, the blessings of God, having food to eat after harvest time. We, if we're walking with God, if we've not only repented at the time we got saved, but as we go through life, sometimes as Christians, there are things we need to repent of, even though we're already saved, and get our lives cleaned up again. And then if we get our lives cleaned up, He begins to bless us again. It's really not, as they sometimes say, rocket science. It's just a matter of knowing God's will and doing it. And if we do it, He blesses us beyond compare. But we have to be careful lest we, like the children of Israel, fall right back into the same vicious cycle and repeat it over and over and over again. Dear friends, if you ever get in your Christian life to the point that you don't keep going through the same cycle over and over, or at least maybe you stretch out the time between going through this cycle more, you will see growth in your Christian life. The goal for us, I think, is to not just keep going through it over and over and over again. How many Christians have you known, though, that just watching from the outside, it sure looked like they were going through this cycle over and over again, and it's because they're not learning what God's wanting them to learn? Let's not be dim-witted spiritually. Let's learn the lessons God has for us so we don't have to keep going through the cycle over and over again. All right, back to chapter number 2. Look at verse number 20. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He said, because that this people hath transgressed My covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. So God says, because you didn't hearken unto the God of your fathers, and you've begun to worship these false gods and goddesses of the people around you, I'm not going to drive the people out. Because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, which was just stay true to Him, just worship Him, I'm not going to do what I promised you I would do if you did that. And we have to admit, He's a just God. He's a fair God. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Why should He do what He offered to do if they did that? You know, 21st century Christians in America, or maybe we should just say 21st century Americans in general, are the worst about saying, well, maybe I didn't do right, but you still owe me something. And I think we're seeing that in society all around us today with the riots going on everywhere. This feeling of entitlement. You owe me something. Well, the children of Israel may have felt like, because they were God's chosen people, He owed them something. But the only thing He owed them was to repay them for what they earned. Same thing as us, by the way. And they certainly had not done what He said to do. So why should He drive out those people around them when they weren't holding up to their end of the bargain? So God says, I'm not going to drive them out hastily. They're going to be there. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. Instead of following me and worshiping me, you're worshiping their gods. So you can just stay there in the midst of them, and I'll just leave them there and you can deal with them, and they'll be a constant thorn in your side from now on. And we'll see how you do with that. You didn't do it my way, so I'll let you do it your way, and we'll see what comes of it. That's pretty much what God's saying. You know, when we get to the point in our lives spiritually that God says, okay, I'm going to give you what you asked for, we're in trouble. Because we never know as well as God does what's best for us. We might think we do, but we don't. When God says, okay, you're going to get your wish. Every time in Scripture God says to someone, okay, I'm going to give you what you asked for, it always came back to bite them. Think of the children of Israel later on when they demand a king. God says, no, you don't really want a king. Just worship me. Just follow me. No, we've got to have a king. Eventually, God will give in to them and give them their first king. They regretted it ever after that. Every time in Scripture we see God saying, okay, I'm going to give you what you want, it always ends up not turning out the way they thought. And it'll be the same way in my life and yours, I promise you. We'd be much better off to say, Lord, I know what you want to do in my life. I see what you're trying to do. Lord, I'm just going to go with what you want to do in my life. We'd be a lot better off to say that than to say, Lord, that's not what I want. I wanted this. Lord, no, I want this. Because He just might say, okay, you can have that. But it'll never be as good as what He wanted us to have. And in some cases, it might be our downfall, just like it was with the children of Israel. Well, that brings us to the end of chapter number 2. As we get into chapter number 3, we're going to see some of the different people around the Israelites that lived in the land. We're going to get an introduction to who some of these different groups of people are. And then we're going to get to meet the first judge from the book of Judges. But all that's coming up next week. So I hope you'll be here if you're able to. And we'll continue on. Questions or comments this morning? Nobody. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for a chance to study the book of Judges. Help us, I pray, to be the kind of Christian we ought to be, and Lord, to learn the lessons you want us to learn quickly and easily, so you'd not have to chasten us so long and so hard over and over again. Lord, thank you for your blessings to us. I pray that you'd help us be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.